You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrat.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, a look at the challenges facing Wisconsin kids who don't match up with commonly held ideas about gender.
First, gun violence in Milwaukee has been one of the biggest stories of the year so far. As of this weekend, there have been just over 100 homicides in Milwaukee in 2015. That's up significantly from 2014, which saw 86 homicides during the entire year. That's got many people asking, what can we do about gun violence in the city?
Our next guest says Wisconsin has the power to reduce gun violence, not just in Milwaukee, but across the state. And in a recent opinion piece, she lays out four policy changes the state could make that she says would go a long way in saving lives.
We're joined now by Nina Vinnick. She's the program director for the Gun Violence Prevention Program at the Chicago-based Joyce Foundation. Nina, thanks for joining us today.
Glad to be here.
Well, we mentioned at the outset the rise of gun violence, of homicide statistics in Milwaukee. You say in this piece, it's not just Milwaukee, it's not just Wisconsin. What are we seeing nationally this year when it comes to gun violence?
You're exactly right. Homicides are up this year in Milwaukee, and they're up as well in a number of other cities across the country, including Chicago, Baltimore, Houston, and a number of others. It's important to put those numbers, though, in some context and to understand that what's driving the homicide rates in Milwaukee and other cities is really the problem of gun violence. Of those 100-plus homicides in Milwaukee this year, fully 80% of those are the result of gunshot wounds, and that's true in cities all across this country. So putting that in broader context, you know, the United States is really an outlier in the developed world when it comes to our level of gun violence. We have the highest per capita rate of gun ownership among our peers in the developed world. We have much higher rates of gun homicide, suicide, accidents, mass shootings than our peers across the globe. And we have much weaker regulation of firearms than other countries around the world. That means that firearms are much more readily accessible in the United States, in cities like Milwaukee and other parts of the country, than they are in other parts of the world. And it's that easy accessibility of firearms that's driving our rates of homicide and, in particular, of gun homicide.
Well, let's get into your recommendations on these issues. First off, you're calling for an expansion of background checks to include all gun sales. This is something that's been talked about again and again over the years. You point out in your piece that expanded background checks are often popular, even with gun owners. So why hasn't this idea been catching on?
Well, the idea has been catching on, and that's the good news, because we know that background checks work. And even gun owners know and approve of background checks. You know, since the Brady background check system, the federal system for running background checks on gun purchasers, has been in effect, some 2.4 million gun sales have been stopped to people who are prohibited by law from accessing firearms. So background checks work. The problem is that there are gaps in the system and improvements that we can make to strengthen that existing background check system, and that's what we need to do. First and foremost, we need to make sure that every gun transfer is subject to a background check. The federal Brady checks that are the law all across the country, those only apply to roughly 60% of all gun sales. Those are sales that are made by federally licensed gun dealers. But an estimated 40% of gun transfers in this country are made by private party sellers, not by federally licensed gun dealers. And current law does not subject those private party sales to background checks. Now, a number of states have taken action to extend background checks to apply to those private transfers, and that's something that Wisconsin can and should do to improve its regulation to keep guns away from people who are prohibited. Other states have done that, and Wisconsin absolutely could take the same step.
And are you looking, with this and other recommendations, for states to take leadership on these issues as opposed to waiting for some kind of changes at the federal level?
States are already taking leadership, and that's the good news. You know, there was a push a couple of years ago in Congress to tighten up our gun policies. Unfortunately, that push was not successful. And in the aftermath, a number of states have stepped up and said, you know what, we're not going to wait for the United States Congress to put the steps, to put the measures into place to reduce gun violence. We can do that at the state level. So now fully eight states require background checks on all guns gun transfers. Oregon is the most recent, passing legislation just this year to expand its background checks. And there's good research to support these kinds of moves at the state level. A recent study that was published just this year by researchers at Johns Hopkins University found that state policies to require licenses for all gun purchasers, all handgun purchasers, with background checks as a component of those licensing procedures, that those laws result in a substantial decrease in gun homicides. So when Connecticut passed a law along those lines a number of years ago, they saw their gun homicide rate decline by fully 40% in the aftermath of enacting that kind of policy. Conversely, the state of Missouri repealed a similar law requiring background checks and licenses for handgun purchasers. And after Missouri's repeal of that law, they saw gun homicides rise in the state of Missouri by 25%. So we know what works. We know that states have the power to do this, and states across the country have stepped up and taken these measures to try to reduce gun violence.
We're talking to Nina Vinnick with the Gun Violence Prevention Program at the Chicago-based Joyce Foundation about a recent piece she wrote suggesting ways Wisconsin can tackle the gun violence problem here in the state. Nina, another recommendation in that piece, submitting records of all prohibited people to the federal FBI database for gun purchaser background checks. What aren't we doing now? What change do you think would help there?
Well, you know, the background check, of course, is only as good as the information that's contained in the system when a gun dealer dials in to check an individual's background. We've come a long way, and we've really improved the submission of records to that federal background check system, but we still have a long way to go. And we particularly have work to do with regard to submission of disqualifying mental health records. Those are records of involuntary hospitalizations or adjudications that disqualify someone from purchasing or possessing firearms based on their mental health history. Wisconsin is doing better. They've submitted more records into the system in recent years, but they still are roughly in the middle of the pack in terms of state record submission. Right now, they're estimated to rank 22nd among all 50 states in their submission of mental health records. The advocacy group Every Town for Gun Safety estimates that the state of Wisconsin has submitted still less than half the total number of disqualifying records that they should submit into that federal system for checking background checks. So the state can do a better job getting those records into the system to make sure that those background checks are effective.
And you also recommend gun dealers wait until a background check is complete before completing the sale. In Wisconsin, we recently ended a 48-hour waiting period for handgun sales. Why is this an important part of the answer?
You know, most background checks are completed within a matter of minutes. It's a very quick, efficient system most of the time. But in a minority of cases, the background check cannot be completed right away. There's a flag in the purchaser's record. It might be an arrest without notification of a disposition that holds up the background check. The information in the system just isn't quite complete enough to let the processors know whether that sale can proceed. Now, under federal law, when a check cannot be completed within 3 business days, the law allows the seller to go ahead and complete that sale even if the background check hasn't been cleared. That's what's known as a default proceed. Now, a number of dealers on their own have taken action to say, you know what, as a matter of our policy, we're not going to allow that sale to go forward until we know for sure whether the buyer is eligible to have that gun or whether they're not eligible to have that gun. We're going to wait until that background check is completed. So some sellers do that voluntarily, and some states require that the sale not go forward until that check is absolutely complete. So that's another step that Wisconsin could take. You know, let's make sure we know that the individual is qualified to have that firearm before we allow the dealer to go ahead and make that sale.
Nina, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
That was Nina Vinnick. She's program director for the Gun Violence Prevention Program at the Chicago-based Joyce Foundation. She joined us to share her recommendations for changing gun policy in Wisconsin. She shared those recommendations and more in a recent piece in the Journal Sentinel.